The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
I think you can still hear my voice. It's still going to carry. You know, first of all, I'm amazed at some of the babies that are here. As I went to talk to some of you this morning, as loud as I play and they're sleeping, you know God is in this place. I couldn't sleep through all my own noise. But it's good to see you all. I'm excited about this short mini-series we're doing on Christmas, The Nightmare After Christmas. I really like that part up there by the moon where it says, waking up from the holiday gloom. I'm going to talk about something around that topic, and it has to do with deception. But before I start, I want to do something churches don't do anymore. I'm not forcing you to. You're willing, and more, if you're willing, you can choose to. But in the Old Testament, and very little in the New Testament, whenever the priest or the preacher or whoever would come up and bring the scroll when people would gather to hear from God, before he opened it, the people would stand. So I would ask you, if you're willing and able, to stand with me as I read today's verse, as we did it in biblical times. It was done then. Let's give it a shot this morning. Would you stand with me this morning briefly as I read the scripture? This is before God. And what we're doing right now, God is watching. And he's always watching. And our lives to him are very important. And I know a lot of churches don't do this anymore. And it burdens my heart. I'm not saying we have to do it as churches. I just felt it in my heart. You know, all of you that are here this morning that can hear my voice all the way to the back, God wakes me up at different times on Sundays to just pray. He woke me up around 4 or 3, I can't remember. And I just go in another room and pray. And he told me to tell you that he loves you. And no matter what you're going through, he is right there. Amen? Let's pray. I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 16. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod. That night be fulfilled was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son." And the last verse, 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this great morning. Thank you for waking us up, God, to be here at church and as other churches gather in your name. Father, I have prayed for these this morning that are here. You brought them here. Even if they plan to come, even for those that plan not to come, and even those that had a hard time getting here or couldn't have a ride, I thank you that you brought us here this morning to hear from you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this room and just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Christmas time. Before I get into these 100 notes I have in here that we're going to try to fly through, it is important to know why Jesus was born. There was one main reason he was born, was to save us. But the second one right behind it, guys, it's so important. Jesus came into the world to bring love. Love. Real love. Genuine love towards people, towards humanity. And most of all, our family members of our own group and our churches. Jesus was born to bring love. He was a perfect example of love. He died for you and me. Amen? And today, it's almost Christmas. It's crazy. We're shopping, trying to get it all done. Some pushing, some shoving. The lights need to get put up. Husbands, our wives, I'm sure, aren't on us. The box is still there. Oh, my goodness. The hustle and bustle, the stress and the work of all this getting ready for this grand day of Christmas. You know, I saw a program on TV. I forget the station I was watching, where some folks have garage fulls, if not a little warehouse in their back, or somewhere a storage, where they start in September setting up their houses. Wow. That's a lot of effort, huh? A lot of work. I didn't go that far. Sometimes I put up lights, sometimes I don't. Because I'm learning what the real season means of the month of December. You know, what's funny for me, as I studied this, is that Jesus, some of you might not know this, Jesus wasn't born in December. You prayerfully might hopefully leave here this morning a mini scholar like I am. He wasn't born in December. There's no way. Because if they were living there in Israel in the mountains, it's cold, it was probably snowing, and the angels show up to tell the good news, remember, to the shepherds, there's no way they could have been out there. Some scholars believe it was maybe June, September. The weather was normal where the angels could show up. There's guys working out there in the fields of the sheep. And we're so trying to get ready in these times for Christmas. And we're missing it. Why? See, our Messiah was born a Savior to our world to teach us not to be deceived anymore. So deception would somehow slowly start coming off of us. Because I led a life of deception. I believed in Santa for many years. I believed we had a chimney when we lived in the east side, and our house didn't even have a chimney. My mom maybe believed we had a chimney, and Santa came through there and gave us gifts. Isn't that funny? We'll believe almost anything. We'll worship almost anything. Our Messiah was born to give us a new life, to lead us away from deception. And we need to know why we celebrate. We celebrate because the Savior of the world was born. You know what's funny? Many people, even Christians, have a hard time believing Jesus was born of a virgin. These are important topics to this event that led us to be here this morning to talk about it and why people gather in churches. Not only in December. We should gather always with fellow brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus came, to make fellowship and unity between humanity. And we're so far off that mark. We're so far off that mark. And people tell me, Frank, how can a baby be born of a virgin? The power of God, the Holy Spirit. How can God change me? I was a drug addict many years, deceived in the lifestyle I led. Tell me that, my friend. Do you see this now? Do you see me cursing at you and being all mean to you? No, it's the love of Christ. God can do anything. And He wants to do great things through you and through Remnant. But we're so deceived sometimes. We have a hard time believing Jesus was born of a virgin. And this is what I put in my notes. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I don't know where you're at today, brothers and sisters, where the Word of God stands in your life and how you apply it and how real it is to you. This Word is so real to me. It has woken me up. It has given me a new life, a new hope. And I know this Messiah was born for me in particularly because I was so lost and dead in my sins. I was deceived. I grew up thinking Christmas about partying and getting the cake and the beer and the drugs and the cheating, the lying, the fighting between families. So deceived. And our text today is a very brutal text. I know that. After Herod's being deceived. This is a story you don't tell the little ones. It's pretty graphic. We just read. Herod killed all the babies 2 years and under. And I'm sure they didn't do it in one night. They're just going out, every evening, possibly killing babies. It was awful. It was brutal and evil what Herod did. And what's funny, it kind of reminds me of today's video games for kids. Some of the Saturday morning cartoons for kids. Brutal games, killing and destroying. And we call it okay. We've been deceived. Matthew 2:16. Just like Herod was. Herod was furious, it says in verse 16. When he had realized that the wise men had outwitted him, he sent soldiers to kill all the boys around Bethlehem who were 2 years and older. Brutal story. Herod was jealous and envious and selfish. And we can be like that sometimes during this season. And I would say this, it shows how far evil will go to protect itself. Herod went all that he could to protect his statue, his position. And his evil spirit still lives on. And I found this on the internet. How can we forget Hitler's Holocaust of killing many innocent Jewish people, including babies, including little boys, teenagers? Sharpsville, March 21st, 1960. The white South African police opened fire on a crowd made up mostly of black school children. 69 were killed. Call the shot heard around the world. Birmingham, September 19th, 1963. A bomb exploded in the 16th Street Baptist Church and four little Sunday school girls lost their lives in the struggle against racism and hate. And 17 families who lost children in the rubble of the federal building in Oklahoma City. That's a nightmare. You want to talk about gloom? How our heading says? We're still living it, folks. It's still around us. It's still around us. Shows how evil far it will go. And it goes on today. Families brutally murdering each other. You see the news? They never put on the news, oh, so-and-so got saved. He's a Christian now. God saved him. You never see that on the news. Just the weather and the destruction that's taking place. That's all I see. There's a few good praise reports. But you never hear about God in the news. You know, I'm not much of a football fanatic. I don't watch football that much. I like watching the games. I don't have a team. I just like to watch the action of it. But I'm so happy and excited to hear some of these guys, hey, how did it go today? Well, I want to praise God. They put God first. That is awesome to hear because you don't hear that anymore. I'm proud of these players that can stand up and put their faith first because they know what December's about, why the Savior was born, the Messiah came. They know that because they're not afraid to testify it. They're not deceived anymore. Does that make us perfect? No, but put it out there. Don't live deceived. Deception is everywhere, and we celebrate things and events with more passion than for God. Stores packed, shoving and waiting to get our stuff at all costs. You know, we're willing to wait for hours at that market or store or wherever you're at in the mall for something you want. Yet we can't make it to church sometimes. I'll tell you this, I haven't been feeling good all week, and I'm not venting on you. I'm not feeling good, but I say, no, this is not going to stop God's word. I told my wife, I don't feel good, but I'm still going to do this. I'm not going to call Jeremiah and Jerry at the last minute and say, oh, I got a head cold. Jesus didn't complain when he went to the cross. He didn't have no excuse. He didn't even complain. He carried proudly. He carried it proudly. We're willing to stand there for hours and can't sit in a one-hour service for church. We'll compromise, make up excuses. It's sad. It's sad. Victor and I say this a lot. And not complaining. This takes a lot of work. But we're here. We don't want that lying devil to tell us, stop doing it. Just show up late. Who cares? Someone else will do it. No. Me and Victor don't want to be deceived. We want to give Jesus all we can and all we have because it's all his anyways. Should be no excuse, guys. And I understand that some of you can't make it for physical illnesses. Totally understandable. But those of us that can, I never seen churches get crowded up like football games do. People are fighting in line. We're fighting at the sales they have before and after Christmas. I've never seen a church building get crowded and rushed. Me and Jerry and Jeremiah, whoa, what do we do, guys? I don't know. They're rushing us, man. That'd be awesome. But no. We live deceived. Bible says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. The Bible also says God is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Not superficially. In spirit and in truth with passion. Just like those things in your life that you have a passion for, you should have that same passion for Sundays. For being here every Sunday and getting plugged into a Bible study. Guys, I'm going to say this till I'm blue in the face. For some of you that are having marital problems, physical issues, relational issues, Jesus can fix it. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you, my family, my sister's here. We're split up. And it breaks my heart. But, you know, we do what we can. I pray for them. I talk to all of them, but I got to visit them at different times. God loves them too. I'm no better than them. I'm just trying to make the difference. I don't want to be deceived. How else will they see Jesus? I've said this before. I have some biological kids that are all grown up and grandkids I can't see because they won't let go of the past. We just talked about it. Me and my sister were talking about this morning. I miss them. I miss my son. He's kind of like little Frankie here. He's a good young boy, and he reminds me of my son. So I connect with him as much as I can. We've been texting a lot. Scriptures and questions. Awesome. Teenagers, text me. Ask me questions. I love it. I'll answer you. Eventually, I'll answer you. God has an answer for all of us. Don't be deceived. Don't dwindle away. And deception has been around for a long time. Look at Revelations. Let me back up. The announcement of the angel being born, I spoke about that in Luke 2:11. It says, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah and the Lord. There's an announcement. A Savior was coming. And he died for us. He died for you and me to be here in this church, serving him now, living for Christ. And I'll ask you this, what's a pastor supposed to do with a story like that? What's a pastor supposed to say with the intro I just gave you? I can tell you what a lot of other pastors and churches are doing. They're doing a very good job of avoiding it. Talking happy things and good things. Yeah, it's all part of it. But how given over are you to God? Are you being deceptive? Are you being deceived? And deception, as I got to that next note, has been around for a long time. And that one is on Revelation 12:7-8. It says this. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. The great dragon, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Two things. It says here who the deceiver is. And it also says where he was sent to. He's right here. He's right here. He's around your life. Trying to deceive you. To tell you you're more important. You're first. Anybody else comes second. Things are more important. Jesus comes second or third. Don't sacrifice that. It's okay. You can do that. Jesus can come second or third. That's not what it says. And Satan is the one that's deceiving. And that's my first point. The nightmare of deception is in general. The nightmare of deception is in general. We are all not immune to it. Look at Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. For everyone sinned. See, we all fall short. We all can be deceived. But if you're living for Jesus genuinely, this season, Christmas, show the love. Deception won't stick to you. I'd rather be with all my family sitting at my mom's or whoever's house with all my brothers, sisters, nieces, my children, my grandchildren, than any gift in the world. I'd rather be with my family. All those gifts, things, they're going to burn, folks. And you know what's funny? Whenever we buy something, after a while, you don't even use it. It's just there. The things just accumulate. Garages full, boxes everywhere. I've been trying to downsize. I had a lot of stuff. Giving it away, just doing, I don't know, I don't want it anymore. I just want Jesus, my church, and my wife. Anything else can come second or third. I don't want to sound like a Scrooge or anything, but I'm not into too much of the gifting. I'm into the personal people. You know, a hug means more than an actual article, a gift. A hug has a lot of words. Love and attention has millions of words. A gift wears out. The nightmare of deception is in general. My question is, where did deception start? So much evil and hate around. Why would Herod murder all these innocent boys? Why are our families not gathering together the way it used to be? Deception. Revelations 20 and 3. The angel threw him into the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore. There's going to be a time where the deceiver is going to be put away for a while. But right now, he's still rampant. And he wants our families divided. And he wants us hating each other. He wants us to hold grudges. He wants us to live for Jesus, but focus on how that person is living for Jesus. You know what? If he's living that way, you know what? I don't want to. You'll never make it as a believer if you're focused on someone else's salvation. Paul made it clear. He said, work out your own salvation. Don't focus on how your brother and sister are living. You focus on yours first to help them. There's no way I can tell you if you smoke out there in this crowd today, quit smoking, and I go home tonight and have a cigarette every other night and justify my excuse. I'm deceiving myself because I smoke anyway. How can I tell a smoker not to smoke if I'm smoking? So I can tell you there's a deceiver, and he deceived me for many years, folks. And God is showing me so many new things. He's showing me what's more important. You know what it is? People. Family. Your family, folks. Call them. Text them. I've tried to communicate with my son and my daughter, but they've just cut me off. They quit answering me. And like I told my sister anyway, she knows the story because we grew up together. I was a very poor dad. I was never there for them. Deception causes that. The world has molded us to focus more on self and to forget why we celebrate Jesus. Putting more focus on the glamour, on the things, on the importance of going, hitting those sales to get what you want, to please you. And what about Jesus? Do you ever go out of your way to find some prayer time for Jesus? Do you try to get away and somehow just talk with God? Oh, Frank, but I am really busy. I am too. I work all day. I have no excuse. I still make the time. I still find the time because I love my Jesus. I want to please him first, folks. Because if I start to please self first and start focusing on people and things, I'm going to be deceived. I'm going to be deceived. And I'll have deception all over me. And I'll be talking to you hypocritically. Deception is wicked. Christmas, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, period. It's a time where maybe you can gather with your family and talk what God has done in your life. Sit with your wife, your kids, whoever, and say, you know what, honey? Man, God did this all this year. Remember when he did this? Remember when we struggled here? Gosh, remember when God spoke to us at Remnant through one of the pastors? Reflect on the goodness. Let the past go. Let those bad things go. It's about Jesus. My second point is this. The nightmare of deception is also personal. It's not only in general, because we all get hit. It's also personal. God takes it personal with you, one-on-one. He also, the devil takes it with you personal, one-on-one, because he's always right there willing to jack you up and mess you up with all these little thoughts. All these actions you see people do, it affects you and offends you and it gets you angry and you fall to the deception. I've told you this before, and some of you at my Bible study, my boss has days that, oh, I want to wring his neck. I don't know why he shows up that way, but I don't pick that up. I don't want it. I don't want that deception. I just say in my mind, Lord, he probably had a bad morning. Something happened last night with him personally. None of my business. I'm just going to smile for him and do what he tells me, because the Bible says I work for God and not to man. Same with your loved ones. I have a brother that uses drugs like I used to, and he struggles. I love him. I've helped him before without wanting to, and he still mocked me and threw stuff in my face. I don't hate him. I pray for him, and I love him, and I miss him. I pray that he gets better like God made me better. And I've told him, it's Jesus that's going to change you, bro. It's Jesus only. He hasn't came around yet, but I'm going to pray for him. I've hurt him like he's hurt me. Brothers physically hurt each other. God's love is powerful. And he's taught me to love him and those that can't be loved. Like one of my bosses. Guys, the toughest thing to do this season is to love those you can't love. I challenge you this Christmas. Call that one family member, that one relative. Even if they hang up on you or curse at you, God forbid, whatever. You did your part. You extended the hand of God, the hand of love. God's always extending his hand of love. He loves them too. We're not any better. It's personal. Philippians 2:12. Dear friends, Paul says, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am gone, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. In other words, like I said earlier, work on your salvation. You're a Christian now. You believe in God. So live it. Apply it. Practice it. It takes work. Trust me, tomorrow you're not going to wake up because Frank said I'm going to be 100% tomorrow. No. You work at it. Love grows inside like a seed planted, and if you practice it, it'll flourish. Then it flows out of you. Then people want to talk with you, hang out with you, call you, ask you for questions and advice, because it's God's love, not person's love, not my love. It's God's love. It's his word that permeates and transcends and changes lives. Jesus came to die for us. So we can have a Christmas time with our family. It's okay to put up some lights. Don't get too crazy. It's okay. But remember what the season's about. It's about Jesus. God is in our lives now, and he comes at us at a personal level. He expects us to work on it, to work on what? Love. Because I said it in the opening, Jesus, that baby was born to bring love into the world, to bring hope into the world. And from that day till now, it just has worsened. Even though in the middle of all that ruckus, people have came to salvation. We're here. We've been changed. We're trying to work on new lives. Amen? It hasn't stopped. Herod took it personal. He didn't want to lose his glory and his position. But he was lost. He was deceived. It was a very ugly day after the birth of Jesus over 2,000 years ago. And it's still kind of ugly today. Tons of deception, division, and darting each other with words. And it's only a once-a-year gathering. Just for Christmas. At least make it right for Christmas. For the birth of our Lord. For Jesus. Meet them once this year. I long to see my grandkids this year. I don't know that I will. The year's almost done. I saw them last year at a summer party one of my nieces had in Brawley. I drove all the way over here just to see the little kids. Showed up to this party. They're all there in the backyard, and they're doing their thing and whatever. And I sat at my table with my daughter, and I could see my daughter show up. She didn't acknowledge me. And my daughter, "Dad, don't go over there." And she was mad. Daughters defend dads. And I said, "No, mija, she's my daughter too." I got up in that middle of that party. Everyone, like, when EFN speaks, everyone's watching. They knew what I was doing. I walked all the way there, smiled. I smiled at my daughter, gave her a kiss, told her I love you. Picked up my three little grandkids. I gave them a kiss and a hug. Went back and sat down. I could see her look like, "Oh, I don't want you here, Dad." But she doesn't know Jesus. My daughter doesn't know Jesus. It's sad, huh? But that's deception. That's how it works. And it hurts. Don't be deceived, folks. Work on it. Work on it. It started over 2,000 years ago, and it's still going on. Why is that one family member excluded? God loves him too. Why? If it's a time of giving, gathering, and loving, why is there so much hurt, deception, and division? Because we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days, folks. Remember earlier I said the news that all is showing destruction, mainly killing and murders, families, marriages, a husband killing a wife, vice versa? That's the gloom and the nightmare we're talking about. Look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 2 through 4. This is the evidence in the Bible prophesied years ago, hundreds and thousands of years ago. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, teenagers, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They can't even control ourselves. It's a sad thing. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Yes, it's Christmas season. But it's time to be with our family and be thankful, folks. We need to remember and reflect all those hundreds of times God has reached out to help us. Many times he's reached out in love to restore us. It's time to restore your family, your members, your friends, your loved ones, that one uncle or aunt no one likes or wants to talk to. Reach out. Reach out. My brother was so lost on drugs some years ago, I went to pay his light bill and he threw it in my face and cursed and left. I love him. I saw him just a few months ago. Mom's walked in. He's standing with my mom. He kind of like, "This guy's going to clock me now." I walked in and I hugged him and I cried. "I miss you, bro." I wanted to cry. That's the love of God. Probably before Christ, I would have punched him in front of my mom in her house. That's deception. The minute I walked in, I saw my little brother standing there. I just hugged him. My mom was tearing up because she probably thought the other thing too. But mom saw God's power in me too because she knows what I could have done. But she saw the love of God. I don't want to live deceptive life no more. It's a lie, folks. Hating each other is from the devil. Yeah, we're humans. We're sinners. We fall short. But if you can soften your heart for that loved one, you're doing what God does. Some of us are so deceived. It's personal. You don't understand what they did to me. I do understand. I've been hurt before. But it's not about me no more. It's about showing the love of God, folks. It's personal, yes. I want to make it beautiful for Jesus and forget myself and hug that brother that couldn't be loved. Amen? The last point, the nightmare of deception is eternal. I didn't know where to go with my last point, and I had no clue that deception has an effect that's eternal because it's in God's word. It just blew me away when I read this. Can you imagine? Let me ask you this before I read the scripture. Can you right now, don't answer this rhetorical question, can you imagine where Herod's at? I know you guys know the answer. He's not in a good place. Can you imagine where Hitler is at? Can you imagine where you'll be at if you have a hard heart, a deceptive heart? It's a crazy, scary place to be. How deceived Herod was. Why is it eternal? We need to be careful how we treat others, because deception is eternal, and it's in 1 John 3:15. Reads like this, 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates another brother or a sister, anybody you know, is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. Herod's heart was hard. He didn't care for God. He cared about his position and power and wiped out babies at all costs to sustain his position. Folks, your position today, if you're a believer, your position now is in Jesus Christ. Your sins, your awful side of you is hidden in Christ, the Bible says. We're to show those fruits now of love. And again, I challenge you, the year's not out yet. Find that loved one that can't be loved, that family member you need to call. Amen? Because it's eternal. We all have had the same appointment of facing God one day. We're all going to die. Where would you be? Which side of eternity were you going to wake up at? Are you willing to hold that grudge, that hate, till you die? Or are you willing just to let it go and leave this morning and go make it right? Give it here to God and go make it right. Almost every time I preach, I remember the prostitute and Jesus at the well. She did all these sins. I mean, not at the well, but the prostitute they caught in action. At the end, he told her, just don't go do that no more. He didn't judge her. He just told her, don't go do that no more. Let's go make it right this Christmas. Amen. Jesus, our Messiah, was born to die for us. Let us remember that this Christmas. Herod died. Jesus came back. Herod died. He's gone. Jesus died. He rose. And he was seen by over 500 people. His disciples saw him go up. And he said, I'll be back. Amen. That makes me excited. He said, I'm coming back. He hasn't come back yet. But we should anticipate him coming back. And have that heart of joy and love for each other. So when he comes back, he finds you with that joy in your heart. Not the Herod heart, but the humble heart. Amen? Worship team, come on up. It's a strange story. Not exactly a story that sends us out in jubilee and in jubilation. But perhaps a story which sends out hope where there is no hope. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Amen. One more question for you. Well, I'll ask you a question and I'm done here. I'll say this. Let us live delivered lives, not deceptive lives. Amen? Let's stand and worship Jesus. Thank you. God bless you.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You